The scripture reading is 1 John chapter 3, verse 4. Everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. Amen.
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, and members of 9,000 branch churches around the world, local central members and those who are attending this service through satellites and the internet, and GCN TV viewers and Manmin TV viewers. This is the 22nd session on the first letter of John lecture series. Continuing from the last session, I'll talk about the justice of God. Scripture 1 John 3 verse 4 says, everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. It said, if we commit sins and practice lawlessness, we will be judged according to justice. It is the word of God Almighty, and there is no exception. Of course, if we repent of the sins that we committed, we will be forgiven in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. But even though we might say you repented, God sometimes says you didn't really repent in His sight. Repentance that is acceptable to God is repentance with heart, not just with words. So the repentance with heart is the repentance to turn back. For example, when Father God tells you to go to the east, then you have to go to the east. But you go to the west. Then later you realize your fault and you repent. Father God, I'm sorry. When you told me to go to the east, I went to the west. Sorry, forgive me. I'll now go to the east. You pray like that. But you still stay in the same place or you go to the west. Then you repented only with your lips. It was false repentance. So Father God does not accept it as true repentance because you didn't turn back. So you have to repent it from the bottom of your heart. You have to confess your sins with a rendering and a repenting heart and depart from sins completely after that. As we discern the tree, seeing the fruit, we can recognize to have repented with heart only when we bear the fruit of true repentance. Therefore, when those who commit sins repent, we may still undergo repeated trials until their repentance has been born as complete fruit of repentance. Say, they said they repented, but they have to undergo trials until their repentance bear the true fruit. Also, to truly repent, the spirit of repentance has to come by the grace of God. And the spirit of repentance just doesn't come for some grave sins. In such cases, you cannot repent from the heart, no matter how much you try to repent. So, you can neither receive forgiveness nor avoid calamity. But even though the judgment comes out according to justice, the actual appearance of the trial may be different from person to person. Some people receive the punishment as soon as they commit the sin, while others receive punishment after living a comfortable life for some time. So, let's say someone practices sin in lawlessness. And no matter how trivial or how grave it is, they receive punishment. But if it is a trivial sin, then punishment is kind of trivial too. So that's the chances are that, you know, people do not realize whether they committed sin or not because, you know, they don't realize it is so because it is so trivial. It is so light. Even if you committed trivial sin, you receive punishment as well. Some people do not understand it. But if you recognize everything and try to realize all things, then you may be able to realize even a trivial sin. then you may realize that you are not protected. Then you can be protected, you can be protected, and you can be complete. Okay? You can become perfect. So some people receive punishment as soon as they commit sin. Others receive punishment after living a comfortable life for some time. The disaster might come upon the sinners themselves, or it can come upon their children or descendants. So the descendants come upon their descendants. So usually, it comes on descendants. Father God is love, right? Let's say your father committed sin. And if father is punished, then he cannot support his family. Then the entire family will suffer. So what happens is, if the father loves his son, then the son will not receive punishment. But usually, father loves children. So when the children suffer, then it gives the father a chance to repent and turn back. Let's say, so the chances are there are many cases. Sometimes those who commit grave sins might live a comfortable life without facing any particular disaster. Let's say, he committed a sin that leads to death, but he doesn't come across with disaster, even though he repeated to commit sin, but he doesn't come across with disaster. It happens. But they will finally receive a greater punishment, which is the punishment in hell. So this is the gravest punishment, because they will end up falling into hell. What if they come across with disaster after they committing the sin that leads to death? Or what if they undergo severe trials? Then they might try hard to repent and turn back. Then they will have better chance to receive forgiveness. But if the punishment doesn't come upon them, they don't realize it and they don't repent. So they are not forgiven, and eventually they fall into hell. They receive such grave punishment. So this is the most terrible punishment, isn't it? Dear brothers and sisters, do you worry about something at this moment? Why do you look so weary? All you have to do is don't do anything that make you suffer. When you listen to this message, you should be happy, because you can make a resolution not to do it again, and then you will live a life that is far from sin and evil. So you should feel happy now. If you lose heart, it means you may have a slightest chance to commit sin again. Otherwise, you should feel happy. If they don't receive any punishment until they die, it means they don't get any chance to realize their sins and repent of them. Therefore, it is more miserable and pitiable to receive no punishment. So, I don't receive any punishment. Don't be happy like that. So many people come to me with tuberculosis and other diseases. There are many sins that I haven't talked about. You know, I just pray for them and then I just keep it silent. Why? Because some people to repent from the bottom of their hearts. Then, you know, I don't need to reveal it to others. Okay? If they are leaders, it is more so. You know, I don't need to reveal this so that, you know, all the members under his control will be in chaos, right? Some people may judge, or some people may stumble under her control. So, if they truly repent and Father God works, then I usually don't reveal it. And it's just between you and me. And that's what I say. But the problem is the opposite case. The sin is grave. It is not the sin that can be easily forgiven by just the repentance. Let's say, when he in a cough, and the blood gushes out, so he repents and receives my prayer, the lung is clean. The hospitals are, you know, so surprised. Well, now, how could you be healed like that? It happens quite a lot. I'm not talking about the unbelievers in the world. They say they believe in the Lord, but if God turns His face away from them, and there is no punishment even after they commit sin, how fearful a thing it is. We sometimes see such cases in the church. They committed grave sins, and they don't repent from heart. But there is no substantial punishment. Of course, you know, they said they repented and they shed tears. But the problem is, it was not the repentance which can enable them to be forgiven. If I don't see it is enough, then Father God thinks it is not enough. Well, in conducting my ministry, I have seen people who committed similar kinds of sins. Some went through great trials even after they repented from the heart. Well, even if they undergo such, you know, great trials, that they repent and they take it with thanks, just as King David did. He loved God. He was greatly loved by God. And when he undergo trials, when he was refined, such a terrible refinement, he underwent through it. And it is normal. Some of them repented thoroughly and were forgiven while they were suffering from serious illness or calamity. But still, in the end, they didn't receive answers or healing, and they passed away. Since there are people who go through nothing even after committing grave sins, I ask God the reason why. Since I, you know, experienced with many people from the beginning of this church, you know, I, you know, study them, what kind of sins they commit and how they were forgiven and how they are healed and why they are not. So I asked Father God, and Father God explained to me what case is applied to which people. That's why I can explain all this. Okay? It is not statistics. Okay? I asked God, and Father God explained it to me until now. This case is applied to this case, and that case is applied to that man. Father God even mentioned the people of people. The cases that I'm mentioning in these messages are actually Father God, you know, revealed their, mentioned their actual names when he explains. But I don't reveal it. That's why I can explain all these different cases. So it is so precise, and I understand exactly what's going on and what will go on. So since there are people who go through nothing even after committing grave sins, I asked God the reason why. I wanted to find out if they themselves or their ancestors stored up so much goodness to receive God's special compassion, or there were other reasons. I wanted to find out the reason why, but it was not because I wanted them to suffer and receive punishment. If you commit sins before God but there is no punishment, what meaning is in it? Hebrews 12 verse 8 says, "But if you are not without discipline, of which all have become partakers." Well, if you commit sin, then you should receive punishment. Then you are illegitimate children and not sons. You are not the legitimate children of God. It means you are the children of the devil and the Satan, because you are slave to sin. You are slave to the enemy devil and Satan. That's why you are not the children of God. You are not illegitimate children. That's what this Bible says. So you are not true children of God. Let's say you have a children, you have a child, you have a son. But what if that son is not your true son? What does it mean? Now, when can you call him your true son? Let's say you adopt a son. Okay? You picked up a boy in the street and you adopt him as your son. Now, you have to differentiate, right? You have a son that you gave birth to, and then there is a son that you adopted. Well, both sons will call you father. The same to children of God. You know, many believers who believe in God, well, they say they call our Father God Father. But to the eyes of Father God, some are true sons, some are not. So that's what this Hebrews 12 verse 8 says. I feel fortunate and thankful if they had come, if they had some deeds or heart of goodness to receive God's compassion, and for this reason they were exempt from the punishments. It is rather unfortunate. But what if their walls of sin still remain, but God has turned his face away from them, like, you know, Elizabeth's sons, because they caused God's great anger? I was even more fearful about it than those people themselves. And that is why I wanted to know the reason. So in my ministry, I should know this. It will help my ministry so that I can teach people right. So I wanted to know the reason. That's why I asked God. So without knowing it, I cannot teach people. So I explained it and I analyzed all this and I explained it to you so that you can understand it. It can become help to you. Well, this is not something from my own experience. This is the explanation from God. If God has really turned his face away from them, don't you think I should make them repent and receive salvation somehow? Well, there are some children who are, you know, Father God turned this away from them. But I still have to pray for them. They stayed with me. They are Levi workers and they are leaders of the church that stayed with me. So that's why I hang on to God and I pray for them. I cannot let go of them. If I let go of them, then I will feel, you know, easy. I'll be fine. Well, if I had done so, so many people would have left this church and fell into hell. But I didn't do so. I prayed until the end. So I'm so thankful for that. So don't you think I should make them repent and receive salvation somehow? That's why I wanted to know what kinds of rules of justice were applied to them. God explained that it is not because they stored up so much goodness that they don't receive any punishment. So, it's not the case that they received goodness. If they received goodness, then even if they commit sin, they receive light punishment. Or they can avoid punishment because they piled up many goodness, much goodness. Like the King Hezekiah, he piled up so much goodness before God. So when he was sick, he prayed to God, Father God, I did this and I did that. Please extend my life. Please forgive me. So Father God heard his petition. It's not because their ancestors stored up goodness either, but rather their ancestors also stored up much evil, and they are born with hearts that are not good. The reason why God doesn't punish them even though they commit sins is because punishing them will not make any difference. So even if God punishes them, it doesn't make any difference. If they can repent with their hearts because they are involved in a big accident or getting a disease, God will give them His grace to go through such things. But they don't even have that kind of heart to be able to repent. As I explained once already, some people have no sense of shame or guilt and they don't receive any punishment. This is the same case that I'm talking about. Let's say you commit sin that leads to death and you brought great loss to your partner, but you don't feel guilty, you don't feel You have no sense of shame. Okay? If you were normal, then you wouldn't, you know, be able to look up to the sky. But you don't feel guilty. So in this case, there is no punishment for such people. I'll explain about one more person. After committing grave works of the flesh, he repented outwardly. Since then, he diligently goes to church and even does his duty as a leader. He lives without any accidents or disasters, fulfilling his church duties. But as I saw it, his repentance was not true repentance. If it was a true repentance, he must have been humble now. He must have tried so hard to go into the Spirit. He wouldn't do anything to, you know, disguise people, and he didn't try to commit sin. But it was not so with him. It was not true repentance. He didn't rend his heart in repenting. When I saw his life after that, he doesn't bear any fruit of holiness. It was not the kind of truthful life paying back the compassion he received from God. In fact, he had committed sins before and was at the threshold of death, but was revived by the grace of God. When he repented of his sins and received my prayer, God dramatically saved him. Usually, those who receive their life back by God's grace would be thankful to God for the rest of their lives and try to pay it back. So many people there were many people in the church who were at the, you know, threshold of death. Once they are, you know, healed, then they always give thanks to God and they always try to pay it back. They always try to become more in goodness. They would give their testimonies and give glory to God, saying, you know, I received a new life by the grace of Father God and the prayer of my shepherd. Some of them consider the day they gained a new life more precious than their birthdays and come and greet me on that day every year. Even though I forgot them, they came to me and greet me. Senior pastor, I received my life back few years ago. Today is the third or fourth anniversary. You know, like this, you know, they come to me and greet me. So, you know, they remind me of that. Because they don't lose the grace. They don't forget the grace. Not even our church members. There are people in other countries. They don't forget it. Especially the Japanese people. Especially in Japan, the Japanese people do not forget the grace. They always, all the time, they pay it back. With the gratitude of being healed, they always give thanks. They try their best in fulfilling their duties, being faithful. But the person was not of this kind at all. He didn't give thanks or give glory to God, giving his testimony to the church members. He didn't talk about the power of God or power given to his shepherd. Of course, I'm not talking about just one, okay? You know, this person includes many different people, okay? But, you know, let's say, about 10 out of 100, you know, belongs to this category, okay, this person, okay? He forgot the grace that they received. You know, and he doesn't even remember what kind of grace he received. And he doesn't give testimony about it. He didn't thank me for praying for him. He didn't change into truth. He didn't try to bear any fruit for the kingdom of God. Well, he seems to do it outwardly, but he doesn't do it actually. He just forgot about it almost completely. But so I myself also forgot him. But Father God reminded of me. Father God reminded me of him. He revived after receiving my prayer. Then I forgot him because he didn't give thanks. But Father God reminded me of him. Then I remembered that happened. He didn't repent thoroughly after committing grave sins, but he just acts like he repented. He had a duty in the church and talks about heaven and the power given to the shepherd, but he doesn't teach with his heart. He always attends the prayer meetings, but he doesn't cry out for the kingdom and righteousness of God with his heart. It is just a display and pretense. He speaks and acts with just his knowledge so that he can keep what he has now and he can be recognized by others. It is just the means to keep his position and to save face. But he himself justifies his evil, giving various excuses. He covers himself with goodness and he cannot realize his heart. I'm not sure whether he can realize this because he himself justifies himself and he doesn't realize his fault. It means his heart is seared with iron. He smiles with a bright face before the church members, being, you know, hypocritical, but he thinks he is doing well because his heart is so hardened, almost like being seared as with a hot iron. He cannot repent truly, even if he gets a disease or gets involved in an accident or a disaster. Of course, if he has pain in his body, he can repent for a moment because he is afraid. But he cannot repent truly, which is turning away completely and then changing himself. Those of you who are suffering now, who are at the threshold of death, those who are extending their life receiving my prayer, please listen to me carefully. Why Father God is extending your life, even though you are at the doorstep of death? There is a reason that Father God doesn't want you to die. There is a reason for you to survive now. If you truly repent from the depths of your heart, that is what Father God wants. Then Father God will, you know, heal you by the justice of God. Someone, you know, repented quite many times. But Father God said, since she committed so many sins, she, you know, made me so angry. And even though she was rebuked, she didn't hear. So that's why, even though she repented a lot, it's not going to ease my heart. So if she truly repented from the depths of her heart, then she had to turn back. But the sinful nature hasn't gone away yet. So she was at the doorstep of death. So I prayed for God. And then Father God said, she has to get rid of the evil nature which is imprinted even deep into her bones. When I prayed, she lives her life without pain. But to be able to completely healed, she has to repent of the evil that she has deep into her bones. Then she can be healed. That's what Father God explained. In that case, even though she has so great wall of sin before God, she loves me, she loves God so much, and she tries to repent. She has that kind of passion. So that's why Father God extends her life. But she hasn't made the repentance, which is appropriate according to justice. So Father God, you know, told me what she has to do. She has to get rid of the evil nature from her bones. So I'm not sure whether the actual person, you know, the repent. I'm not sure whether she is giving that kind of true repentance. If she did, you know, Father God would touch her already. If she didn't, you know, Father God would wait. But Father God does not wait forever. And Father God would take her away. Or even though she saved, she can go to paradise, but not any better. So what if I call that person and directly tell him, God says all these things, you must repent if you want to receive salvation. Because he knows the truth, he would say amen with his lips. He can even shed some tears before me, saying, I have realized now, and I will turn away. But it will still not be repentance of heart. After some time, he will go back to a state of having no grace, and he will just keep on seeking his own benefit. And actually, it is what happened to him. Actually, I told him directly. Well, he repented before me. Senior Pastor, I will never do that. But later, he repeats again. He went back to the original heart that he used to have. And Father God knows this. Even though he repents, it's not true repentance. If he gets a disease or has an accident as a punishment, it will only cause hardship only for me. When some people that I know of got sick, you know, some people after committing sin, you know, if they got sick, then I am hurt and I should harbor them in my heart until they got healed. And it's not an easy job because whenever I see them, I have to pray for them, right? Whenever I see him on screen, you know, I pray for that person. But I usually, you know, put my hand on the TV screen and I pray for him. I pray for him. So since I prayed, you know, the light would win him. Now, so until, you know, they got healed, I am difficult, okay? It's difficult for me. If he comes to receive my prayer, will I not have to mourn so much to save him somehow? If a leader is in that kind of situation, it's not edifying to the church members. That's why God is also just watching him. And the problem is, their children go the same steps. They follow their parents' steps. Dear brothers and sisters, God is love. Jesus accepted Judas Iscariot until the end, and he tried to give him as many chances as possible. Even for the doubting Thomas, James showed the evidence so he could believe. There are people who change and even become martyrs like Thomas, while there are people like Judas Iscariot who reach death. But God is patient with any kind of person in his compassion. He does not break a bruised reed or put out a smoldering wick. Say, our Lord tried to, you know, help Judas Iscariot to realize. But other disciples do not know what's happening. Why our Lord is talking to Judas Iscariot like that? But Judas Iscariot knows why Jesus is talking like that. But he doesn't repent. Even though our Lord, you know, mentions many things that, you know, you are he who betrays, but he doesn't realize, he doesn't repent. He rather, you know, sells his master for money. So greed for money is so grave like this. Since he had in greed for money, even though he was appointed and he was told to go to, nor hell. He didn't repent. He'd rather betray his master. So it is so fearful, isn't it? So that's why, you know, if you don't get rid of greed for money, you will go to hell. Because it will give birth to sin continually. And what about arrogance? The arrogance is the same. If you don't break it, the arrogance will grow bigger and bigger. But you don't realize it. So if you have greed and selfish motives, you have to get rid of them. Don't let it grow. But even though God is giving him chances, this person's situation is only getting worse. I see his eyes are increasingly falling into flesh as the days go by, and I feel very sorry for him. The reason why he receives the compassion of God is that he wants to stay in this church that God is with. He doesn't want to leave this church. Since he knows that God is with this church, he tries to stay in this church. This does not mean that he is longing for the grace manifested in this church or that he is trying to change himself. It is because he wants to enjoy what he is enjoying here now, and he is afraid that he might face some loss or damage if he goes out of the boundary of God's grace here. But he is not the only one whose conscience has become numb and who does not realize their sins are sins. I'm not talking about just one, okay? There are just too many among the unbelievers, and there are quite a few in the church too. God is giving them more chances because they remain just within the boundary of grace and they don't leave the church. But still, Father God waits and waits to give them opportunity. Father God is giving you another chance by, letting me deliver this kind of message. It will, help people. It will prevent people from doing it, okay? And it will help some people to repent, okay? It will give them chance to turn their heart into true heart and make a true repentance. Father God doesn't want them to, go stay away from the salvation. But no matter how many chances God gives them, the choice is up to them. They have to choose by themselves. They have to choose whether they go to heaven or hell. Some time ago, God let me know about some of the leading pastors and workers. He let me know that they will go to hell. At that time, I mourned for several months, clinging to God, and God gave them another chance. Through that chance, many of them repented and they also made professions of thanksgiving and faith. They said they were filled with hope for New Jerusalem and they were trying really hard and they were fasting and praying with their thanks for the shepherd. Later, however, I saw that many of those people changed their mind at their convenience. So this is what I cannot understand. They live in this church of life, the church that manifests the power of God. But how can they change their mind and go to hell? I can understand such people. Well, I wouldn't even imagine it. Well, they are falling into hell. The Father God that tells them that they go to hell. So since the word of God is absolute, they have to turn back and repent. But they change and they go to the world again. It doesn't make sense at all. Well, I would never do that. I couldn't even imagine of me doing it. Even though I intercede for them before God and teach them of their faults, they go the way of death anyway because they don't change their hearts. But for these people who don't have any intention to repent, even though God just leaves them without any punishment, doesn't mean they will live in peace all the time. Well, let me tell you more. Well, why don't you, call them personally and then rebuke them? Then they will turn back. Well, you may say that, but it's not so. If I rebuke them, And depending on what kind of rebuke it is, their life and life is at stake. Let's say, depending on what kind of rebuke I make, let's say, if I rebuke and point their grave sins, then their life will be at stake. If it is a rebuke of love, and they turn back, and they will get a chance. But if they don't repent after my rebuke, then the result is terrible. Sometimes there is a rebuke of anger. Because, what he did led many people into, temptation and stumble. So, when I rebuked them, some people had to suffer greatly and passed away. Well, the problem is, if they truly repented, then they would escape from death. But it was not the case with them. So I had, the experience. So both for these people who don't have any intention to repent, even though God just leaves them without any punishment, doesn't mean that they will live in peace all the time. As time goes, and if their walls of sin are stored up more, it will somehow be revealed. If they're completely forsaken by God, Satan might capture them. They might also get into a very difficult situation where they can find no way out. So after some people were rebuked, some people truly repented. Even though they passed away, they received the salvation. But in other cases, they don't even receive a chance to repent, and they passed away. Sometimes, if their parents lived a good Christian life, then they had a chance to repent. So, and then that, they also knew what happened to them. They usually, break all the wall of sin that they piled up, and they pay everything they promised, and then, they passed away. I know, whom I'm talking about. In case of King Saul, he kept on standing against God, and he had agony due to evil spirits. At those moments, David, whom God loved, played the harp, and the evil spirits left Saul, and his mind was refreshed. But later, even though David played the harp, the evil spirits captured Saul more strongly, and he raved, which means he was talking loudly and accusing David without reason. So in the beginning, when David played the harp, the evil spirits left. But the King Saul became more and more evil. Even though David played the harp, the evil spirits didn't leave him. He even tried to kill David by throwing his spear at him. As Saul didn't repent and the magnitude of being captured by darkness is increased, even the praises that had spiritual authority would not work for him. Judas Iscariot, who sold out Jesus, finally committed a suicide because he couldn't bear with the pain in his heart, being captured by darkness. Even if he had spent the rest of his life without any disaster, he would finally face the day of judgment, and there is no chance to repent there. Some servants of God, there are some servants of God that who can have bright future. I mentioned one thing from this altar, but husband and wife came to me after the Friday all night service, and he knelt down and repented and asked for forgiveness. it was the sin that they committed before, quite a long time ago. So he, you know, asked for forgiveness. He repented. Please let me be forgiven of this sin. This is the sin that he committed a long time ago. But since he felt he was not completely forgiven, he and his wife came to me and repented. It happened quite recently. Even though there are layman members around, he bowed down and he asked for forgiveness with shedding tears. This is the true repentance. He tries to leave. He doesn't want to go to hell. So even though there are many people around him, he didn't care. He knelt down and bowed down and repented. He did it a couple of times, so I couldn't turn my face away from him. So I prayed for him so that he could be forgiven. Some people even say, you know, even though I wanted to pray, you know, senior pastor doesn't give me a chance. Senior pastor doesn't want to have a meeting with me. Well, if you want to repent, you can take any chance. Are you in a jail or something? You can find the chance to, you know, to repent before me. So if you can repent when you still have a chance, even if it means disaster is upon you, it would be something better for you. In a condition where somebody's conscience is completely numb to the point where he cannot realize his sins and he cannot repent, I have seen punishment comes on immediately when God took his confession away. A couple of years ago, there was a young man who committed so many sins and eventually died in a car accident. He stored up evil upon evil, knowing the truth, and he didn't have the kind of heart to repent even if there was a chance. But because he didn't leave this church like in the earlier case, God just left him without giving him any trial. But God finally gave him out to death in order that the other people might have a chance of repentance through his incident. So I don't know exactly what's happening with him. So I asked the people around the young man. The many people told me about what he did, and I realized that, you know, he made Father God really angry. When the people saw an example of facing destruction due to sins, those who were taking flesh and committing sins with him came to an awakening. Now, young people, I believe you remember him. It was quite just a couple of years ago. But you forgot about him easily. Right after his death, young people didn't commit sin for a while. So you were quiet for some months, but later on, you started to commit sin again. Young people here, do you remember him? Please, you shouldn't do that. Father God, make him a sample before you. Then you have to realize what's happening and you should never commit sin. But you were quiet for some months, but after that, you started to commit sin again. And the last year, you know, I had many, you know, I had to spend so much time, you know, changing your behavior. I spent a year like that last year. Now it's quiet now. Well, this is Shalom Choir, the married people. Oh, okay, there are some. Also, the family of that young man was leading a faithful and diligent Christian life. Even though his parents lost their son, God gave them grace that they could keep their faith. They could also realize many things about themselves and change in spirit through that incident. Furthermore, overcoming such a pain would become a reward for the parents, since many of those who were committing sins came to an awakening sleeping seeing this incident. Dear brothers and sisters, if the parents are faithful in God's kingdom and pray a lot, their children can receive more grace and they might have a few more chances to repent, even if they are in sin. So if the parents pray and come into spirit, then their spoiled child will come back. There are more chances. Their prodigal children will come back. Why? Because their parents are pleasing our Father God. So that's why Father God loves them too. Those who enter the Spirit. So in order to ease His children's heart, Father God make their children to come back. But no matter how faithful their parents are, if the children themselves do not have a willingness to change, they cannot receive salvation with just the faith of the parents. I've often emphasized the most important factor in receiving salvation, answers, blessings, and curses are the choices that you make from moment to moment. So some people come to me and ask, beg for salvation after they make their own choice. I don't have any right to give you the salvation. Well, all you have to do is leave from sin. Then you will be able to meet the grace of God and mercy of God. You shouldn't take this message lightly, thinking you don't have as evil conscience as to be seared with a hot iron. How much do you really mourn when you realize sins and evil in you? You shouldn't just repent and mourn with lips, but you should check whether you are really bearing the fruit of repentance. You might say, Father God, I'm sorry. I spoke with piercing words and I was rude to a certain person today. I have this arrogance and I look down upon others. Please forgive me and give me the strength to change myself. Well, if you have this kind of heart, then you are far from the rock of salvation. Well, I will later explain why is it. Because you don't know what you are. Because you don't know whether you stand on the rock of faith or not. Whether you're close to the Spirit or not. Well, this kind of heart should be fixed in when you are in the first or second level of faith. If you are supposed to stand on the rock of faith, but if you still do have this kind of heart, then you are. After praying like this, you shouldn't say, I repented, I'm praying to change, so it's okay and enough. If you truly repent and pray with your heart, you should actually change. You shouldn't show the same kind of act again. If you still show the same kind of evil even after 1 or 2 years, and if you're still repenting of your evil, it is something foolish and heartbreaking. Such a person has no progress in faith, and so he will lose the grace of God. The fullness of the Spirit will cool down, and without realizing it, his self-righteousness and frameworks will become stronger and arrogance will take root in it. Even if he goes into spiritual slumber and is tempted, he cannot discern it, and he might easily commit grave sins. In order not to fall into spiritual blockage, you shouldn't just change your appearance, but you have to renew your heart every day. You shouldn't repeat realizing something and repenting of it. If you are realizing something and repent of it, you quickly have to pull out the root of that sin. So, why do you repent and commit sin again? How good is it if you don't have anything to repent of? Then you will be confident before God. Then you will ask everything. Since, for about more than 20 years, I haven't repented. Maybe just a couple of times, but it was not anything like, you know, the sin that I repented of. I usually repented on behalf of the congregation. I don't even recall if there was any for the last 20-something years. So look at God. That's why Father God surrounds me with His aurora lights. But some people judge and condemn still. Well, Father God recognizes me. And the Father God, you know, told me that He will share what He has. And just as I said, even I got a picture here, a branch church in India. He also took a picture of aurora lights surrounding his light. And members of his church also saw the aurora light, you know, coming out of my body. Father God recognizes me. And He covered me with His aurora light that He has. Now, how can a mere human being judge and condemn it? It is to judge and condemn God. Father God recognized me 100%. But you judge it, condemns it? I mean, Father God works exactly the same as recorded in the Bible. I'm not sure whether I can read it for you, because I have to keep the promise. You shouldn't take trivial sins lightly. You should long to become a beautiful bride of the Lord and quickly cast off all sins. I urge you all to be renewed again and again every day. Let's think over the message and pray together. Hallelujah, Father God, thank you for your love and grace. Let this message become life and faith in their hearts. Father, please let them understand what true repentance is, and let them have no wall of sin before you, and let them not build up any wall of sin before you. Let them become wise. Let them have understanding, Father. Father God, thank you. Father God, thank you. Father God, please work for these people. Father God, work on these people. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters, it is difficult to commit sin, but it is easy to repent. If you truly believe in God and love God, it is so easy to casting off. It is so easy to cast off sin. It is so easy and it is so fun to find your evil and sin and cast it off. But committing sin is so difficult. Why? Because you are building a wall of sin before God. If you make a wall before God, the wall of sin, that the trust relationship between you and God is broken. Why should you do so? Let's say you and I trust each other 100%. Now, you did something wrong, so I cannot trust you 100% now. Well, if you completely trust me and I trust you, then you will not dare do anything that will break that trust relationship. You don't want to break it. You don't want to break the trust. Now, it is the trust relationship between you and Father God the Almighty. Now, how can you imagine break the trust relationship? Even if people give me tons of money to break their trust relationship, I cannot do that. Now, without knowing, how can you judge me and condemn me? Father God says He loves me. Father God says He loves me and He guarantees me. How can you judge and condemn such a servant of God? You saw dragonflies coming and going of the clouds and the aurora lights and rainbows and so many signs and wonders. Father God gives us the proof that how much He loves me, and how can you judge and condemn such a servant of God? It means you don't trust your shepherd and you become prey to Satan. You shouldn't do such things. Be careful. What a loss is it? I will pray for the sick. Father God, please lay your hands on these people. From head to toe, in every intestines and organs and nerve system, burn all diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit so that they can become, be in good health both in spirit and body. Father, a missionary Hosu Lee in Congo is going to lead the Bible seminar in the Lubumbashi Manmin International Seminary. And he is going to lead the pastor seminar and handkerchief meeting in the city of Koloeji, and the seminar and handkerchief in the city of Ndola in Zambia. Please make everything go prosperously and protect his UN airplane. Father, please bless Paul Lee of Germany so that he can deliver the second seminar of the measure of faith. Father, please bless Zika Renuka, doctor, so that she can pass the medical doctor test. Father, please bless Yang Yi to be healed of heart disease and to be broken from the spiritual string from her ancestors. Father, please bless all these people. Let them hear well, let them see well. Father, please burn all diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit, and burn all diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit, and let their skin cleansed, all the itchings go away, high blood pressure go away, diabetes go away, all kinds of diseases go away, germs, virus go away, be burned by the fire of the Holy Spirit, and become strong. May the light come. Father, thank you. Protect them and bless them for this week. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.